put your hands in the air.
Stick your hands up where the sun don't shine.
You want me to stick my hands up my butt?
And let's get this party started.
Time to get in on the action.
I'm Jared Hall from Entertainment Weekly, and here's what to watch on Tuesday, July 13th. We're counting down today's top three must-see picks from TV and movies, but first, your entertainment headlines. Cedric the Entertainer has been tapped as host for this year's Emmy Awards, which is set to broadcast live on CBS Sunday, September 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The ceremony will also be available to stream live and on demand on Paramount+. This will be his first time hosting the Emmys as he follows Jimmy Kimmel, who emceed last year. For more on today's nominations, be sure to join EW critic Kristen Baldwin and me on The Awardist podcast. Ahead of Sunday's series premiere, Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, the latest entry in the ever-expanding Power universe, has been renewed for a second season. The highly anticipated Power prequel travels back to 1991 to track the cold-blooded origins of Kanan Stark, who was memorably played on the flagship series by Curtis Jackson, aka 50 Cent. The new installment stars Mekhi Curtis as 15-year-old Kanan, Tony winner Patina Miller as his queenpin mother, Rock, and Omar Epps as Detective Malcolm Howard, a powerful force on the streets of South Jamaica, Queens. The Simple Life star Paris Hilton is no stranger to trying new things, and up next on the heiress's list, becoming a culinary expert. At least that's what she'll endeavor to do across six episodes of her new Netflix series, Cooking with Paris. Premiering August 4th on the streamer, the Cooking series, Netflix, by the way, put cooking in quotes, will see Hilton learning to saute, sear, and zest. She'll also show off her party-throwing skills, and we're told to expect a, quote, glam kitchen wardrobe. She'll also team up with celebrity pals as she tries out new recipes and utilizes exotic kitchen appliances. Word of advice, careful Paris, the oven, that's hot. For more on those stories, plus other news, reviews, interviews, and more, head on over to EW.com.
Number three.
Now let's time travel to the moment when I reveal today's number three pick, which is right now. Number three today is The Flash, which heads into the home stretch of the season this week with part one of the two-part season finale. Barry and Iris were thrilled to welcome their kids Nora and Bart from the future last week, but tonight a shocking secret will threaten their newfound familial harmony. Here's a clip from the episode.
Check this out. I got one more.
No. Gross.
Or you can just ignore the family rules for a minute and rewind that.
Oh, sure. How would I do that? Wait, is this about the other Nora?
You know about her.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you and Mom have told us a ton of stories about her, and I'm so glad that you did. I feel like part of her is still alive in me.
Barry, we've got more Godspeed clones southwest of City Hall.
Okay, time to go to work. Let's go.
Let's go? No, you mean like all three of us go?
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
So this Nora already knows about the other Nora from season five. What could the secret be? Hopefully the family will resolve the issue in time to confront the Godspeeds, whose war is intensifying and threatening to destroy Central City. Whatever happens, you can bet things will end on a massive cliffhanger before the official season finale next week. Tune in to the CW at 8 o'clock tonight to see how it all goes down.
Trivia.
It's trivia time. Tonight marks the 150th episode of The Flash, which debuted on the CW back in 2014. The first episode was the network's second most watched premiere ever at the time, after the pilot of what CW series? Arrow, The Vampire Diaries, or The Originals? Stick around for the answer.
Number two.
Today's number two pick is for all the parents of preschoolers out there looking for a good new show for their kids. From the creator of Disney's Doc McStuffins, Netflix's Ridley Jones follows the 6-year-old title character, who, alongside her mother and grandmother, is a protector of the museum she calls home. Keeping the museum safe takes a real hero, especially when the lights go out and the exhibits, from Egyptian mummies to stampeding elephants, come to life. Throughout her many adventures, Ridley finds that being a good protector and leader is about finding common ground and respecting others, no matter what our differences might be. Here's a preview.
You live in a treehouse inside a children's museum, and you don't think you have enough fun?
It'd be way more fun if the exhibits really could talk.
Why are we yelling?
I don't know!
In a place full of mystery,
where the past comes alive.
Our job is to preserve the artifacts who make their home here.
You'll get your very own one of these.
It's called the Compass Eye.
No way.
Isma, look who's here.
I might be mummy royalty, but I'm still a hugger.
Yes, you are.
I'm Dante.
And I'm Peaches, first monkey to slip on a banana peel in space.
You're gonna need a bison bodyguard.
And this is Dudley.
Hey there.
It's our job to keep everyone from the museum safe.
So call it Night at the Museum for preschoolers with a bit more educational value. Ridley Jones is streaming on Netflix right now. Don't go anywhere. Our number one pick is coming up. What to Watch will be right back.
No one.
More about Gelcoat.
When the fourth round.
Don't you call in the.
Don't touch that dial. That's right, we're still calling it a dial here, because it's Emmy season on The Awardist. With the dazzling Oscar season behind us, we are now turning our attention to smaller screens to track which shows are headed to the podium and which shows stopped us in our tracks. Join me, Jared Hall, Entertainment Weekly's executive editor, as well as EW's TV-obsessed staffers every Thursday starting April 4th as we share our opinionated hot takes and insight into the Emmys race. The Awardist will get behind the scenes with the creators and stars themselves during in-depth, can't-miss interviews. Follow the long road to the Emmys with The Awardist podcast Thursday starting April 4th on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to check out more Emmys coverage at ew.com/awardist. Welcome back to EW's What to Watch. Before we get to today's number one pick, let's welcome EW's Marcus Jones back to the show to discuss his latest viewing recommendation. Hey Marcus, how's it going?
It's going well. How's it going with you?
Great. Another wonderful Tuesday here. Emmy nominations day. Very busy. But I had a very important question to ask you. And here it is, Marcus. What you watching?
Right. So the latest thing that I watched and really enjoyed was the Peacock original Rutherford Falls, created by Ed Helms, Sierra Teller Ornelas, and of course, Mike Schur, who we know from Parks and Rec, The Good Place, etc.
Yeah, a lot of great credits there behind this one. Tell everyone what the show's about.
Right. So Ed Helms plays this guy, Nathan Rutherford, in a town, Rutherford Falls, that is actually named after his family. And he's a big history buff, specifically his family history. And so he runs sort of, let's, for lack of a better word, say the colonizer aspect part of this town. And then of course there is his best friend is Regan, played by newcomer Janice Schmieding, and she kind of represents the person keeping the Native American history alive. And right by the town there's a casino that she works at, and while her sort of Native American cultural center that is dedicated to the whole of her tribe is just kind of this side room that barely has anything in there, maybe like one basket as the main exhibition. Ed Helms' character, Nathan Rutherford, his museum that's just about his family is like fully decked out, and he gives tours and has like a garden and everything. And so basically it all starts with his family's statue in the middle of the town for one of the elder Rutherfords is like a traffic problem. Basically, people can't help but smash their car into it. And so
oops,
he's basically struggling with people wanting to update the town, kind of modernize it. And he feels like in doing that, they're kind of erasing his family history. And so it feels like as people consider his family's contributions to the town less, they start really considering the contributions of the Native Americans more.
Right.
And that's when we get to meet a third character who runs the casino, played by Michael Gray Eyes. And once he gets introduced, things really start going, and it becomes this kind of like still very funny, but a little bit of like Game of Thronesian intrigue occurs.
And as I understand it, he is very much a standout here, as is Janna.
Totally. Once you start watching the show, you start rooting for the, I mean, rightfully so, but you start rooting for the Native Americans too. And sort of they are all subtly being like, hey, like, I don't know. Like, we get that you really love your family, but you might want to like think a little harder on if this is the history that you want to sort of like uphold and promote.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it's like they're very kind and gracious to Nathan and his history. And Nathan is mostly well-meaning, but it's really interesting to see in the frame of this comedy a situation where like a well-meaning guy can't really handle it when people start pointing out sort of like the flaw in some of his logic.
Sure. Kind of art holding up a mirror to real life in this way with a comedic satirical spin on it. Gotta love that. What ultimately is your like favorite part about this show? The thing you love so much?
I mean, I love all the stuff at the casino. You get to see basically how Michael Gray Eyes' character plans on expanding it and really becoming like he's super focused on business and is one of those like, we're going to win by like capitalism, which has its own flaws in logic. But it's very fun to see like the moves he's making as it compares. Like, it almost feels like Nathan is always reacting to Michael Gray Eyes' character being like 10 steps ahead. And so that's really cool. And I mean, also Janice Schmeeding's character, Regan, I like that she gets a little bit of a romance with Dustin Milligan's character. And of course, Dustin, everyone knows from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a nice romance plot in there, too. He plays a dude from NPR who comes to the town and kind of wants to make a story. And there's a lot of funny jokes about like him trying to make something out of possibly nothing.
Oh, well, gotta love that. All right. Well, and the good news here is that Rutherford Falls was just recently renewed for season two. But if all of you want to catch up on season one, it's all available to stream on Peacock. Thanks, Marcus.
Thanks, Jared.
And now, everybody saddle up for our number one pick, Miracle Workers Oregon Trail. Where do you take your anthology comedy series after season set in heaven and the Dark Ages? Why, the Old West, of course. Set in the year 1844, Miracle Workers' third season follows an idealistic small-town preacher who teams up with a wanted outlaw and an adventurous prairie wife to lead a wagon train west on the Oregon Trail. But if you're familiar with the Oregon Trail video game, or, you know, actual history, you'll know they're not in for an easy journey. Our heroes will face an American landscape, which, much like today, is fraught with both promise and peril. Here's a preview.
We're looking for an outlaw. Goes by the name of Benny the Teen.
I don't recognize him at all. Handsome guy, though. Beautiful mustache. Hope you catch that sexy outlaw.
Are you ladies women of the night?
It's the 1840s. The preferred term is whores.
Sorry, didn't mean to offend you, whores. This is classic Oregon Trail. Get hyped.
Get hyped indeed. The wagon train gets rolling tonight at 10:30 on TBS.
Trivia.
And now the answer to today's trivia question. The first episode of The Flash was the second most watched premiere in the history of the CW after the pilot of what series? Arrow, The Vampire Diaries, or The Originals? Did you sink your teeth into this answer? It's The Vampire Diaries, which still holds the record for the CW's most watched premiere with 5.7 million viewers. Well, that is gonna do it for today's episode. We'll have more news and must-see picks for you tomorrow, so be sure to follow or subscribe to What to Watch so you don't miss our daily recommendations, more of which can be found at EW.com. I'm Senior TV Editor Jared Hall. You can find us on Twitter at EW and at Jared Hall. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great day.
What to Watch.
Today's episode of What to Watch was written by Tyler Aquilina, edited and produced by Joshua Heller, hosted and produced by Jared Hall, and executive produced by Shayna Naomi Crockmall and Carly Usden.